A company so big it makes Apple look like small potatoes. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Chinese Commerce Ministry said today there's progress toward a mini U.S.-China trade deal. The official said if there's a deal, if, then Beijing would expect both sides to lower tariffs in phases. Tomorrow we'll get a readout on consumer sentiment from the University of Michigan after a droopy summer into fall. Many forecasters expect sentiment here in November to be up. Diane Swong, chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton, is waiting to see the data.
It really is stunning to see how responsive consumers are to this negative news shock of trade wars. That isn't something that always happens, but clearly they're making the linkages. It's becoming part of our narrative, our economic narrative, and we know when those narratives go viral, that can be a tipping point and cause either a self-fulfilling prophecy of a recession or a boom, depending on what the narrative says about the economy.
We're into the holiday shopping season here, and it seems hard for the consumption to be lower than last year when the trade war fears abounded and the government shutdown talk was everywhere. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Germany this week to mark the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall and for trade talks with the German leader Merkel. One likely topic, the controversial pipeline called Nord Stream 2. The 760-mile line is meant to increase the natural gas sent from Russia to Europe. The BBC's Victoria Craig has some background.
Germany and other northwestern European nations support the pipeline because it gives the region another transit option for natural gas. Colin Smith from Panmure Gordon says the region needs an alternative.
There have been times when Ukraine and Russia have fallen out severely over the terms of transit, and that has resulted in midwinter in Russian supplies being cut to Europe with extremely negative effects.
Some European nations like Poland and Ukraine have strongly opposed the plan, and U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is expected to reiterate America's strong stance that the pipeline will make Europe too dependent on Russian energy supplies. Stuart Elliott from S&P Global Platts explains.
They argue, for example, that Russia could then use it as a weapon by threatening to cut off supply through the Nord Stream route, because, of course, there's already an existing pipeline, Nord Stream 1, and by doubling the capacity, it makes Europe very dependent.
But with the final pieces of the pipeline being laid, Mr. Elliott said it's likely too late for anyone, even the U.S., to put a stop to it. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Now, Germany spent a fortune reunifying East and West when the wall came down 30 years ago Saturday. This week, we're looking at what if the U.S. spent that kind of money to reunify booming and lagging parts of the U.S. Marketplace.org if you missed those pieces on the air. As you may have heard this morning, U.S. authorities have charged two former employees of Twitter for using the social media platform to monitor, even physically track, dissidents in Saudi Arabia. The Justice Department believes thousands of people may have had their personal information accessed with info turned over to a Saudi agent. Riyadh has yet to comment on the charges, and as it happens, the director of the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, Gina Haspel, met with the Saudi Crown Prince today. There's also this Saudi oil company that's fixing to hold the biggest launch of a new stock in the history of the known universe, Aramco. The long-awaited prospectus with details of what people would be buying if they were to buy an Aramco stock is due on Saturday. The Economist magazine's Charlotte Howard was in the Saudi kingdom in recent weeks reporting on what the magazine labels in its headline, The Goliath. And she joins us here with some fun Aramco facts. Good to see you, Charlotte.
Nice to see you.
So Aramco makes money?
That's an understatement. I mean, Aramco's net income is nearly twice as big as Apple, which is the most profitable listed company in the world. So it's really a company of gargantuan scale.
Now, say someone buys these promised Aramco shares looking to partake in the generous sweet dividends that they should throw off. These dividends could go down if the Saudi government ever decides to increase its stake by raising taxes on Aramco. Is that a risk?
So that's a big concern in the back of the mind of many investors. Aramco itself has worked hard to convince them that they would deliver strong, steady dividends going forward. But the Saudi Arabian government is extremely dependent on revenues from Aramco. If the economy is weak, then it could potentially ask more from Aramco, either in terms of dividends or taxes.
But at the moment, they've cut the tax rate on Aramco, though, Saudi government.
Yep. They've instituted a number of different reforms, both in terms of tax policy and dividend policy, to try to ease investors' concern about their payouts.
All right. Another point. Being an oil company, the work is capital intensive, but it's not all that labor intensive. What is the significance of that, given Saudi Arabia's quite young population?
So the economy of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is hugely dependent on oil, and it's brought a lot of prosperity to the kingdom. So they have quite generous safety net for workers, including free education and health care. But the issue is that the oil industry just doesn't employ enough Saudi Arabians, and there's a really large and burgeoning population. So the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, thinks that up to 1 million jobs could be needed in the next 5 years. So the question is, where are those jobs going to come from? So for a variety of reasons, including the need to create jobs, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia wants to list some of Aramco's shares so that it can raise money to then invest in other sectors to help diversify the economy.
Charlotte Howard is the New York bureau chief for The Economist magazine, but was in Saudi Arabia to report her piece on Aramco, the Goliath. Charlotte, thank you.
Thank you.
And how much is Aramco worth? Now, that's the rub when a brand new stock comes out. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman would like that number to be $2 trillion, but some analysts suggest maybe $1.5 trillion. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.